Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Let me indicate up front that the chairperson is not going, Ms. Phelps is not going to be here at the start of the meeting. She's just been urgently called to another meeting with the Mozambican delegation, but she will join us as soon as she finishes that meeting. Shall we then proceed with the meeting? Can we adopt the agenda?
Honorable Waila
proposes the adoption.
Seconder? Honorable Khatebe seconds. Thank you. Any apologies besides that of the chairperson? Secretary.
We have an apology from, the standing apology from from Mr. Oriano Brissini, as well as an apology from Mr. Mabasa, who is attending the EDD meeting. And Dr. James sent an apology, but he will be arriving late, around about 10:30. That's the only apologies I've received.
Thanks. let's go to item 4, the input from the DTI, on the submissions received on the National Lotteries Amendment Bill. The DTI.
thanks, Chairperson, and the honorable members and my colleagues. I have this document. I will be using this document. It's not marked. I'm marking it Annex A. At the top it says written responses to the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, dated 21 August 2013. Okay. I will go through it generally. I will generalize unless if there are specific issues that the committee wants to put more emphasis. And then I will also apologize that my DDG is not around today because of other commitments. So I will cover generally the issue of accountabilities of DAs because it seems to be very important, and then also related to the quorum issue, and then the disbursements of funds, and then differentiation of the NLB and the National Lotteries Board, and the role of the minister in the of the board. And then also emphasize the issue of internal review mechanism, as well as audited financial statements. So generally is that the organizations like Badisa and then others, they were repeating a lot of issues. So they were talking about the issue of supporting the bill. They support the bill, but they propose that there should be guidelines, should be aligned to this provision. And then we responded by saying, yes, the guidelines have to follow the Act as the main source of authority for all lotteries activities. So in the main is that the guidelines cannot be issued outside the purview or the ambit of the Act. It's like a section of an Act that is empowering. So if there is no empowering section, it will be difficult to have a regulation. Another issue, they say we support the current scenario through ministerial appointment as this ensures the independence and separation of powers of the DAs with a focus on adjudication. Minister, will appoint and retain the DAs will be appointed on a full-time basis to report the board on to the board on the administrative issues. So in simple is that we propose that the DAs should be full-time, but with that option of having a sort of a part-time. But as the circumstances change, the minister can appoint on a continuous basis. And then the board will have to be the operational principal of the DAs, so that they can control them. If somebody is not passing judgment, adjudicating well, the board can investigate and write a report to say this person is not functioning, and therefore the minister is the one who can take an ultimate decision to say you need to resign or I'm dismissing you from the appointment. Because the board was worried about this accountability to the minister without accounting to the board. So we have to separate the two powers. So by professionalizing the DAs, we mean they must be full-time, and then we'll focus on full-time on the issue of adjudication. I think we agreed that the issue of distribution should be amended. That was a proposal because of stakeholder submission. Their work should be to adjudicate. And then their adjudication abilities, therefore, will facilitate, and then the issue of backlog won't be seen again. And then there are issues of simplification. I think they are very simple there. And then the issue of appointing the state lottery, we have proposed that should only be done when the national priorities are not followed by the license holder, by the operator. If the operator is not implementing what was agreed in the RFP, if he or she is failing, then the minister can cancel the agreement, and the state has to run it. But this will not happen during now that there is a bidding process now. The bidding process, maybe the minister may announce, say, November or February, whatever, next year. And therefore, we are not saying the state, as for now, will be part and parcel of this arrangement. It will happen in another time. I'm trying to take the main points. And then the issue, the lottery board members should be appointed with no affiliation to organize.
Sorry. Could you just indicate the page on the issue you're talking to so that we can all follow?
Okay.
Where you are. Yeah.
I'm on page 9 now. Yes, I was skipping the simple method here. 9. The last one was talking to the issue of the appointment of an organ of state. Will not do away with the NLB, all those issues. NLB will continue with the regulatory functions. The state organ may only be appointed to run the lottery as an operator only if private licensee fail to realize the legislative mandate. That's what I was... before that, it was page 8 on the full-time capacity of the DAs will address issues of effective consideration of the adjudication process, and then distribution should not be their function per se. It should be the function of the board to distribute, but they are hired to adjudicate like judges. So most of the backlogs were taking place because they will arrive and then start to deal with administrative issues, which was supposed to have been done by the secretariat or by the members of the of the board, you know, not of the staff, yes. So and then quorum again was an issue. So the issue of quorum won't be an issue again because there will be full time. That is the proposal. If I may go to page 10, there is a lot of sort of a repetition. 13A, organ of state, on 13 is a repetition, B, E, all those issues. And then the guidelines which I was talking about, guidelines will be developed as internal controls by the NLB. The NLB may need to publish those guidelines to ensure that they are known. Good cause will refer to all the projects that should be funded by government, but government is unable to fund such projects. And then we go to page 11. On page 11, a possible total of 10 years on the board may be too long, leading to excessive power. The word "shall be eligible for appointment" should be removed and changed to read "may be reappointed for the last term for a further period of 5 years. This is to say that there is no automatic reappointment. Currently, the reappointment is not limited. Okay, and then the other issue of SAIPA welcomes the restriction that political office bearers may not serve on the board. There is a court judgment, if we may recall. We didn't change anything per se. The court judgment speaks for itself. Who is a political bearer? The definition, the court pronounced on that. The other issue, 13A, is an organ of state only when the third party, I've already said the thing, it will be a repetition. The other issues of importance, I think, is on page 13. It says 26B, appointment of the distribution agencies and function, composition, appointments and conditions of service. We responded by saying it should be distribution agencies, not agency. The number of distribution agencies in each category should be determined by the minister with the board. It will not be 9 people for the whole board. In other words, circumstances, the business of, if that agency has got a lot of work, it may need a bigger number of distribution agencies and members. So therefore, the board will be on the operational side and then advise the minister to say, we think we need the increase of DAs here, and then the minister will consider that. The last paragraph, since the DAs will be appointed on a permanent basis by minister with board, will exercise this function diligently. There is no motivation why the function should be removed from the ministerial functions. On page 15, generally, it talks about this issue of review process, and then the issue of sort of is a review process. To say it will be better to introduce the internal processes of adjudication of dispute. If there are disputes, it will be better for the DAs, for the board to consider and then review such. And then if a person is not happy, the applicant is not happy, it should be taken to, it can go outside the court. So internal processes must be exhausted. I think that is the principle. And then we see no reason why it cannot work. And then therefore fairness will take place. The issue of organs of state is rearing its head generally, in some way that I don't want to be heard repeating myself. And then I'm going now to page 16, because 15 is talking too much on the issue of the state lottery. Yeah, that point that I was emphasizing on page 16, the third paragraph, to say the DAs will account on issues of administration alone to the board. On adjudication, the DAs will be independent from the board. And then politically, they are appointed by the minister. I think now we have at least painted a picture where accountability lies, depending on the function. And then on, I may be stopped if I'm repeating myself, but I'm jumping 17 to page 18. They are repeating these issues of the appointment of a single body with 9 members will be abandoned in favor of retaining the current categories. That means they will be distributing agencies, but size of each category will be determined by the minister and the board, since full-time function may not require the same numbers. I think I've already alluded to this issue. The review and appeals process already exists, albeit informally. Therefore, we want to formalize them. The provision is merely there to formalize it. A separate structure may come at a high cost. The internal process will ensure that the DAs have a relook at their decision. The board will merely review and refer back this issue. The proposed statutory bodies could not be held accountable in terms of the Act, and further, a large amount of potential beneficiaries may be excluded because they are not affiliated to the said entities. Proactive funding will be in such a way that the research report. So in simple terms here, we are saying proactive funding should take place, and then when it takes place, it will inform the board, and then there should be an agreement of some sort. The research report should be discussed with the beneficiaries. It is intended to benefit. It is proposed that the solicited funding be removed from the bill. The issue of full-time of DAs is repeating itself again. And on page 21, the issue of the organ of state, we have already discussed that issue. I'm on page 23 now. The FPA, that is the organization that commented, advises that these clauses in the draft lotteries amendment bill will collectively bring about a state lottery. Not only will the lotteries be run by the state, but the distribution of funds will be guided by the government plans and priorities. So generally, our response, we said, South Africa does not operate a state-run lottery. It has just allowed minimum control by private interest. It should not come as a surprise when the state creates a platform to take charge in the event the private interest fails to implement the main objectives of the Act. So if you read going down, it says only if an appointment of private operator has failed to ensure the implementation of BEE, local procurement, transfer of skills and technology, organ of state will further help in the event the operator commits a gross violation of the license condition.
Just on a point of correction, can you just read, are we on page 23, last paragraph? What does the first sentence say on the response? South Africa does operate a state-run lottery?
Yeah, there is a note, I think.
Go ahead.
No, thanks for. I never knew that the note can change the whole complex. On page 24, it says the DTI needs to define the term conduit for the purposes of this legislation. And we think the chairperson of that day, Mrs. Fabs, also emphasized the issue, that issue. Conduit is clear in terms of the provisions, as it provides for people who apply on behalf of another person. We intend to ensure that all beneficiaries are empowered to apply and deal with the lottery's funds directly. In other words, where possible, money should go straight to the applicant without being diverted to administrative costs of a third party, and then that third party transmit maybe 10% of the whole money that was, the whole funds that was applied for. So therefore, the issue of conduit is not favored. There may be exception, but we don't rule by exception. I think that is the point that we're emphasizing. And then I'm on page 26. And then on the purpose, general, where it is written general on the left-hand side, we said it is proposed that the purpose in the bill must further provide that lottery funding is intended to efficiently utilize funds from the NLDTF to fund good cause projects. As in the purpose, it must be clear that it is there to fund good cause projects. Maybe we can go to page 28. And then it says general again, the FPA. Then the response is say, with the full-time appointment of the DAs, the application system will be changed into an open call for continuous applications and adjudications. So it won't happen only once per year. It must be continuous, and then these proactive projects also taking place, and cumulatively, therefore, I think we think the lottery will be run, will be in a better position to be efficient. I think that is the gist of the matter. On page 29, I don't think there is anything there talking about empowering provision. That issue of saying we need to have an enabling section in the Act so that you can therefore allow maybe the minister to prescribe regulations or guidelines. And then I'm on page 30. We said miscellaneous. It is written section 31 miscellaneous. I think that is the issue that we need to talk about. Miscellaneous funding will fund all good causes applications which are not covered in other categories, but I think during the discussion we said there should be proactive funding in each and every category. There should be proactive funding in each and every category, but the miscellaneous one must be able to fund in that particular area. But each category, there should be a proactive funding in that one. So I just wanted to clear that not everything will hinge on the miscellaneous.
Okay. Yes?
Can I just ask another point?
Go ahead. We chose to sit like this, you know, so that we can talk at close combat, you see.
Chair, the English language is a terrible language, but I think the spelling of good cause should be causes, C-A-U-S-E-S. Is that not correct? And once again, it's a tiny little thing, not to be critical, but I think for the record we need to correct it there. Thank you.
No, thanks. Thanks for the correction. The causes, sometimes we're using causes correctly, sometimes the subjects. And then appreciate the correction. So can we proceed with that distinction of saying proactive good causes should come from each and every category, and then the miscellaneous funding category should also help to provide funds from its coffers. So I'm on page 31. It reads, currently and in the bill, national lotteries will account to Parliament through Minister. This is one of the issues that we've been talking to, say the Minister appoints the board, and then the Minister appoints the DAs, and then the board account to the Minister, but to Parliament, because the Minister is a representative of Cabinet. I think that is the gist. Members will see that from page 32, 33, there are sort of blanks. There were issues that we see that they are repeating themselves generally. And then on page 42, we talk about lottery does not fund community foundations. That is Uthungulu Community Foundation. Proactive funding is proposed to ensure that the gap to reach rural communities is narrowed. The education and awareness can play a role, but we do not fund foundation. I think that is the issue at hand. And then on page 43, Section 26, accountability of the distribution agencies is again sort of a repetition that we have done. A full-time appointment of DAs will increase the accessibility, all those issues we have talked to. On page 44, I think it will be a repetition. I may be stopped if the appointment of 45, it said the appointment of DAs on full-time basis will result with such opportunities as members will be in a position to structure their availability to attend such trainings. However, issues of development and learning are issues of organizational strategy and policy. So this issue is that the members of the DAs will have to be capacitated, like judges, magistrates, members of the tribunals, they still attend courses in order to enhance their efficiency. Chair, for fear of repeating myself, I think that would be the end of the main issues that needs to be addressed. I'm looking at my colleagues if there is anything that they would like to say it in a drafting, although we are not yet in the drafting stage, to say maybe as a policy statement I said something, whereas in the drafting a language it may be put differently. So I'm looking at my colleague Mabuthogo. Okay, no problem. My sister this side. Okay, no, thanks Chair. I have try to summarize this document, and then thanks a lot to the members of the House.
Thank you. Advocate Van der Merwe, do you want to make some input?
At Chair, I'm sitting in the back seat for purposes.
Sorry, straight on.
Of today's meeting, Chair, but we are part of the picture. In fact, we started yesterday on instruction by the department to do a very first initial draft of the A-list of the bill that would indicate the proposed amendments to the bill. But at the moment, it's premature, but we are here in attendance for that purpose. Thanks for the opportunity.
Members, do you want to comment on the issues that have been reported to by the DTI at this point?
No.
looks like we are fine up to now. Shall we then go on to the bill itself and try and go clause by clause? Okay. Yes, Honourable Fanon.
Have the changes been incorporated in the new bill?
Through you, Chairperson, the late yesterday afternoon we made an A-list available to the Secretary of the Honourable Committee, but it has not been distributed for purposes of this meeting, and needless to say, it is a very, very first draft of the A-list, and we would not like to present a document to this Honourable Committee if we're not satisfied that it is in a proper drafting state. With your permission, Chair, what we will be doing is subsequent to this meeting to go about and make further additions to the A-list, and hopefully for purposes of tomorrow's meeting, we should have a proper A-list for consideration by the committee. But please, if you would allow me, for purposes of today's meeting, not to deal with the essence of that document, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Khatev.
No, Chairperson, I think the explanation of the department is clear. I think that what they are ready to do was to present this, the responses only. So if there's nothing from the side of the committee, we can prepare for tomorrow when we already have that A-list, amended A-list thoroughly checked by the department.
Members, I just do want to afford you the opportunity, perhaps, to raise any issue at all that you might want to raise, not only in relation to the input of the department that we've just done now, but in relation to the amendment bill itself, which you think you want to raise now, which might help to enhance the work of the drafters today up to the time we meet tomorrow. Yes, Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I think that we've got here in this what Chief Director has called the Annexure A. We've got a set of in-principle decisions about where amendments will be effected. That's as I understand it. Now, the drafters will now work on that. It is difficult for me, without going through the actual bill, having got the old one where we made note, to see at this stage whether anything's been left out. It sounds extremely comprehensive to me, but there may be areas where we want to fine-tune it, and I think that opportunity will come when we have the amended bill in front of us, or the list of amendments as per the A list. So, to me, a lot has been covered. I can't at this stage say whether we will discover something that has been left out, because it would require a comparison. So that's what I wanted to contribute, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Let's then adjourn this meeting for today and allow time for further refinement in preparation for tomorrow. Would that be in order? Yes, yes. And if need be, I was just about to add, if need be, parties can actually make further proposals, probably in writing and prepare in preparation for tomorrow as well. That would be very helpful. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.